In this Thanksgiving day, let us turn to Psalm 113 for our scripture reading. Psalm 113. And we read the whole psalm. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Dear congregation, when we think about Thanksgiving Day, then of course we think about giving thanks. Saying thanks, expressing thanks for all the many things that we have received. And it certainly does involve expressing thanks, but there is more. Maybe you say it's not only saying thanks, but also being thankful. That's always so important to realize, isn't it? That sometimes thanking other people can be something we do easily, out of custom. That's a polite thing to do. And that being here this day on a Thanksgiving day is not just saying thanks to the Lord because that is a polite thing to do, but because of a thankful heart. But there's even more than that. What is a Thanksgiving day about? It's about praising God. Praising the name of the Lord. True thanks is an expression, one expression of praise to God, because it desires to give God the glory and the honor that is due to his name as the God who gives. And so especially in that expression, praise to God, it so directs our focus, not just here is a list of good things and we're thankful for this list, but of praise, a focus on the God who gives it all and the God who is above it all. And so our psalm here, Psalm 113, it directs us unto God above on this Thanksgiving day so that his name would be praised. And that's a calling then not just for this day. And congregation, that our thanksgiving would not just be for this day, but as it says in verse 2, from this time forth and forevermore. That's what the psalmist senses. The Lord deserves blessing and praise from now on. And that's expressed also that it's to be every day in verse 3, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. And so we will listen to this psalm, can you say, through the lens of verse 3 as a text. And then our theme is the Lord's name be praised. 3 points. First, the praiseworthy name. Second, praise offering creatures. And third, praise working grace. The Lord's name be praised. The praiseworthy name. praise-offering creatures and praise-working grace. What makes God so worthy of praise? We'll begin maybe closest to home with the gifts that he gives. We see some of those gifts at the end of this psalm. When it says, for example, in verse 9, he maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. And I can hesitate as I realize that not everyone receives this gift. But maybe especially those who do not realize what a gift it is. And what reason there is for those who receive a gift like this to give thanks. To receive children is such a gift. It's striking, isn't it? Also, in the midst of the congregation, there are so many who are receiving their first child or have done so. What a gift that is. What a gift to have children and to have those children spared by the Lord. A gift. What a gift to be married. What a gift to have a home, to be able to keep house. What a gift to be in a home, to have a mother, to have a father. What a gift these family gifts are. But that verse 9 is only one illustration of a general principle that God gives to those who do not have something, and he gives it to them. They don't have it until he gives it. And when you broaden that out and you think of all the things maybe you did not have and the Lord then gave them to you, how many things aren't there that you didn't have and you still wouldn't have, and you only have them today because God gave them to you? Every gift comes from God. And therefore, it's no wonder that the psalm ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." If we go up and see in verse 7 and 8, then we see not only his gifts that he gives, but also his dealings, his good and kind dealings that he has with the children of men. And it uses a very extreme example of someone in the dunghill and being lifted up and set among princes. And what a great work of God that is. And certainly spiritually, as we hope to come to later, but already in an earthly sense, when there is great need and distress, and the Lord lifts you up out of that need and distress and favors you with gifts and provision, then that also is such an amazing thing. Look back. What has the Lord done? How has the Lord lifted you up? Maybe in the midst of your work, or in the midst of your home, or in the midst of your family, or whatever it be, there were things which were so weighing you down, you were down, and the Lord lifted you up again. What a mercy of God. And when you read that text of someone, a needy one, being on the dunghill, the garbage heap, then that's not the picture of any one of us outwardly, is it? None of us are going back to a garbage heap. We're all going to a home. And just think of that. What the Lord has all spared us from is also so amazing. What makes this so amazing? Then we have to go further up in the psalm and see that the smallest gift is God's great condescension. Verse 5 says, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, and who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth?" God is not our servant that we hardly need to thank and praise, because after all, he's just doing what is expected to be done by a servant. God is not our servant who just does his duty towards us and he is just there in order to make us have many good gifts. No, God is supreme. God is on high. God is upon his throne in the heavens. And there is none like unto him. All the great ones of the earth are as nothing before him. When we think of something high and great, then we can think of the heavens. And when you see something of the sun setting, then it fills you with a sense of awe as you see the glory of the sunset. And after the sun has set and the moon is very small, and you look out into the clear, dark night and you see those stars and you think of how you're looking at stars which are millions of times bigger than the earth, and yet they're just these little specks of light in the night sky, and you see the heavens at night with those pinpricks of light, then you feel so very small, or not? And now this psalm says God humbles himself to look at those heavens. God is above the heavens. We look up and we feel so small. And God has to humble himself, has to stoop down to look at those little heavens compared to who he is. Is it any wonder then that the psalmist says in Psalm 8, "When I survey the heavens, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? Thou art mindful of him." If God, as it says here in verse 6, humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven, then how much more does he humble himself to behold the things that are in this little globe called the earth? And that God beholds them and pays attention to this little earth. That is God's great condescension. And then to think that on this little earth, he humbles himself to care for those plants of corn that are outside there and cares for each of those plants so that they grow and so that they produce a cob and so it can be harvested. That this glorious God for which the heavens are a humbling thing for him to look at, cares for that wheat, is amazing. And that this great God would look down not only at the things of this earth, but would look upon you on this earth, which is but this tiny little speck of dust, and that he would care for you, is breathtaking. You ever been up in a plane and you look down and you can't even see people? You see some big buildings maybe and you see them as a little speck, but you don't even see people. They're so small. And God is above the heavens and he looks down. He humbles himself to behold the things that are in the earth, you and me. And he opens his hand to care for you and me. Is this God not worthy of praise for his great condescension and for thinking of you and me and providing for his gifts, for his condescension in his gifts? He is worthy of praise. But ultimately, he is worthy of praise because of the greatness of his glory. Verse 4 says, the Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. He is above it all. He is infinite. He is the creator and all else is his creation. He is above this whole universe. And therefore this God is worthy of all praise and honor and adoration. And that comes out in that he is worthy of praise because of who he is. When it says in repeatedly that the name of the Lord or the Lord's name is to be praised. His name is his revelation of who he is. It's God showing us this is who I am in all his praises, in all his perfections, in all his attributes. This God is worthy of praise. That's why repeatedly already in verse 1 it says, praise ye the Lord, praise O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name is to be praised, and it ends with praise ye the Lord. His name must be praised because he's God. There's no discussion about it. There's no question about it. Who can dare stand up this morning and say, but I don't think God should be praised. I don't think God is good. I don't think God is great. It would be blasphemy for us, these sinful specks, to think that anything else is worthy of praise and not God. He alone is glorious, doing wondrous things. Whether we're married or single, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're young or old, whether we've been successful in this past year or whether we've struggled financially this past year, whether things are stable or whether things are in upheaval at work, whether the family is in good health or whether there are concerns in the midst of the family, whether we are, whatever our spiritual condition is, one thing is true. God's name deserves praise. Right? What does that involve? That's our second point. Praise offering creatures. If we apply our text more personally, God is saying, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And the rising of the sun and the setting of the same was a way of speaking of east and west. It's saying wherever the sun shines from the east to the west, throughout this entire earth, God's name is to be praised. And if that is so, then it means that wherever we go, whether we go east or we go west or we go north or we go south, whether we go there for work or whether we go there for pleasure, or whether we go there east or west or north or south to visit, or whether we go to church or whatever we do, wherever we are, his name is to be praised. We can also view it from the perspective of time. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is to be praised. And the rising of the sun means from the beginning of the day, when you begin your day, that your first thought would be of God. And as you go through that day, in the midst of the busyness of life, his name would be praised. And as you would go to the end of your day and the sun sets and you go to sleep again, his name would be praised. Always. Not just the Thanksgiving day. Yes, now we have to give thanks and now we have to. Every day. From the rising to the setting. So what the psalm says here, his name is to be praised. What does that involve? When I study this word for praise, the Hebrew word, than the dictionary spoke of it being and being involving being sincerely and deeply thankful for and satisfied with, lauding the superior qualities or great acts of the one you praise. You might say praise is showing delight in God being God. Showing delight in God being God. And so ascribing to the glorious God the glory due to him. That involves thanking, doesn't it? Acknowledging him as a source of everything good. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, his name is to be thanked. And if we wonder what to be thankful for, even the very fact that there is a sun that rises and that sets, without the sun, we wouldn't be here. There would be no life. There'd only be frozen death. That already is a reminder to give thanks. Every day the sun rises on the evil and on the good. Thanksgiving. Think of how when David prospered as a king, and he then saw all the people give so generously for the temple to be built, then he sunk down in before the Lord, and he said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, to make great, to give strength unto all. And now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." But who am I? Thankfulness in prosperity. And in a society which is so prospering compared to other generations and compared to other places in this world, there is so much reason for thanks. Because when we are not thankful, we are proud. It's either thankfulness or pride. Either we are thankful to God and acknowledge this all comes to God as an undeserved gift, or we're proud and we think that we have done something to get it. And we are better than others, and that's why we have it. The humblest person is the most thankful person for God's undeserved mercy in everything. Oh, let us give thanks. But what about in difficult days? Maybe there have been cloudy days this past season. And yet it says here, the Lord's name is to be praised and thanked always. Last Saturday in Mount Elgin, there was that Goats for Girls presentation, and one of the young ladies was talking about visiting a place in Nigeria, a boarding school for handicapped children. And there was a teenager with muscular dystrophy who wasn't able to move her legs anymore, who wasn't able to move her arms anymore, who was still able to do a little bit with her hand and still write if someone put a paper under there with a pen in her hand. She lived in a little 7x7 foot room. And when the summer season came and all the children had to go home, then she was brought to her sister, and her sister didn't want to take care of her, too much bother. What a life. And the one who visited said the amazing thing was that so often as she sat there, she would have a Bible in front of her. And she said, "I thank God every day that he gives me life and that he's so good." You imagine being in that situation and yet thankful. Think of Job. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thankfulness, even in difficulty, that God is God. and that God is good always. Reason for thanks. Thanks is an expression of praise to God because we acknowledge who God is in giving. But that praise to God is not only thanks, but it goes also together with trust in God and dependence on God and prayer to God, isn't it? Praise is not only saying thanks. To God's praise is also calling upon his name, bringing that need to him. That's to the honor of God, because that shows that you believe my need is great, but God is greater still. To address my need and to bring need to God is to God's praise, because it shows that he is greater than anyone else and he can do what no one else can do for you. Psalm 56, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God will I praise his word. How does he praise his word? It's by trusting in that word and so bringing that need to him. How important that is, to give praise to God by not hiding your need, but bringing the greatness of your need for body and soul to this God, for him to glorify himself in answering prayer. True thanksgiving gives reason for trust in God. God's name is to be praised, to be thanked, to be pleaded. God's name is praised also in the way of confessing. In the way of confessing sin. We don't often think of that. They seem sometimes in our minds such opposites, praising God and confessing sin. But most dishonoring to God is to hide our sin and to pretend we are not sinners, when God sees it all. And for us to act as if it is no sin is an insult to God. Then we're saying God is not really worthy of more than I give him. I give him enough. And that is blasphemy. Confessing our sin is the acknowledgement God is worthy of all honor and glory, and I fail to give it. And I confess that before him. I confess it's a sin against a God who is so good, and therefore I confess it as sin, as something so bad. That's what Joshua called Achan to do. When he said, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Hide it not. Oh, that even in this day of thanksgiving, then there's reason to give him honor by agreeing with what he says about sin. That is to God's praise. He hates a proud look and a self-righteous heart, but is glorified, is praised. What we sang of the contrite heart that's broken by his goodness. Another aspect of expressing this praise, is it not singing? Singing to the Lord. You think of Psalm 47, sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises with understanding. So often, praise to God and singing are bound together in the book of Psalms. Because singing is a fitting expression of praise to God, because it magnifies who God is and shows a delight in God being God. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name be the glory given for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. So good, isn't it? To sing unto him, to his praise. But as we think of praise, we should not think only of these expressions of by words, of singing, of confessing, of thanking. But when it says from the rising of the sun to the setting going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. It means that his name is also to be reverenced and worshipped in all of life, to live in his fear. That's why Malachi speaks of how from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, his name shall be feared, reverenced. in all of life. Realizing me, this little speck of dust, is living before the face of this infinite God who humbles himself to behold the heavens, who humbles himself to behold the earth, who humbles himself to behold little me and to care for me. And I walk before his sight. And so to walk in the fear of his name, reverencing what he says, listening to what he says as a God of glory, that is to his praise. From this time forth. On this Thanksgiving Day, we are reminded of what we are to be every day. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. From this Thanksgiving Day forth forevermore. And now that question is, do we give God this praise, this thanks, this trust, this confession, this song, this life of the fear of God? He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it all day long. Do we give it to him? And maybe you say, well, who can honor him, praise him this way? And no one perfectly. But have you begun to desire the honor and the praise of this God? No longer you, but him. How's that possible? It's our final point. Praise working grace. The very beauty of this text exposes something very ugly about us, doesn't it? It's so easy to talk about praising God, but to actually do so, it goes so against our natural hearts. And that exposes this dreadful reality which is told to us in Romans 3, that all have come short of the glory of God. Our great problem in life is not just that this morning I spoke an unkind word, and that yesterday I had a covetous thought, and that the day before our great problem is that we come short of the glory of God. We fail to give this infinite God who gives us everything we have, fail to give him the honor and the glory that he deserves. In other words, our lives then miss the mark, the purpose of our existence. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's why God made us. You and me. That's why our hearts are beating right now. It's for this purpose, that we would glorify God and enjoy him forever. And when we fail to do so, we fail in our purpose. You make a pen in order to write. And when that pen doesn't work and doesn't write, it's useless. God made us to glorify him. And when we fail to do so, what a great dishonor it is to him. Insult to him. This is our problem. We can even sing praises on a Thanksgiving Day, and yet the Lord can then say, this people draws near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Left to ourselves, the most we do is draw near with our lips, but our heart remains far from God, bent the other way. And that is what unmasks and exposes our spiritual poverty. That we are poor. The poor of verse 7. Who cleave to the dust of this earth. And don't rise up in praise to him. Then we are the needy of verse 7. The needy. Shall I put it this way? On the dunghill of sin? That dishonors God? what a need that is. Having fallen from those heights in which God created us into that dunghill of misery and of sin. And maybe we don't like to hear that. Maybe we don't like to hear that. But it's reality. And if we set aside this reality of this is what we are by nature, not ones who praise God but dishonor God, we will never learn the secret to praising God in truth. It will all be superficial. Who here confesses, I come short of the glory of God on a Thanksgiving day? I dishonor God. What do you need? Is it not this praiseworthy God who glorifies himself in condescending and humbling himself to come down? This God who looked down upon this earth and he saw this whole earth as full of sin and full of the dishonor of his name. And he saw that this earth would never give him praise. And therefore, when he saw there was none good, no, not one, then God came down. And he came down in the person of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's astounding, congregation, that this infinite God, this Son of God, he would come down. And he would come in the form of a little child. And he would be born. And he would live. And he would walk about on this earth as if he were but a speck of dust. And that this Son of God would walk about. Always, always, always giving glory to God and praise to God and living to the honor of God. That this Lord Jesus Christ could sing this psalm. Praised, let his name be praised from the rising to the setting of the sun, because his first moment of awaking was to God's glory and his last thought was to God's glory every day. And he sang this psalm because they would sing this psalm on the night of the Passover. He sang this psalm that night in which he would be betrayed. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And he went forward to do the greatest work into the darkness of the night, where he humbled himself even lower than anyone else. He humbled himself to the bitter and shameful death on the cross. There God treated him as if he were the most God-dishonoring creature, coming short of the glory of God. Every moment from the rising to the setting of the sun, God treated him upon the cross as the worst sinner. He was made sin. He was made a curse. He took on him all that sin of a God-dishonoring people. And the punishment that sin deserved. Oh, how God infinite humbled himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that's not the end. He rose again and he now sits at the right hand of the Father, and he sits there so that again he may humble himself and he may come down by his Holy Spirit, come down to find us where we are with our sin and God dishonoringness. And there he may find us on that dunghill of sin, in that poverty and in that dust, and he may lift up, raise up. Set such among the princes of his people, it says, among the children of God, and put a new song of praise in our mouth, even praise to the Most High God. This is the greatest wonder and the greatest reason for praise in terms of what he does. And that's why If this morning your heart is not filled with praise to this God for who he is and what he does, and your heart is full of sin, there's only one place to go with a heart full of sin, and that's to this God who stoops down to lift up and to deliver from such an existence, and to save and to set among princes and to give a new song of praise. Isn't that the God to go to every time again, even when the Lord has lifted you out of that miry pit and set your feet upon a rock? You go astray and your heart becomes cold again. And isn't it reason to pray with Psalm 119, "Grant life unto my soul, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee." This is a God who lives to raise up to this praise of him. Then you understand the psalm when it says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." Is that what fills you on this Thanksgiving day? The greatness of this God, his condescension in caring for you physically, but greater yet sending his Son, sending his Spirit, lifting you up. His name must be praised by you, by me, by all, every day, to his glory. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. From this time forth, forevermore. Amen.